Katie Wingy, your host, reporter, and analyst for the Denver Nuggets, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KSKA.
Welcome back to the show. Joining me now on the First Advantage Hotline, Kevin Lytle of the Fort Collins, Colorado. And Kevin, my friend, always good to catch up with you. I'll see you in studio in a few hours, too, so that'll be fun.
It's our big Thursday date day.
We get to talk about the Rams on this show, and then we have Weekly coming up later today at 5 o'clock. So we have some fun stuff to talk about, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. It's interesting times again.
Yeah, always, man. Okay, so this Rams team... boy, I think you and I and Chris are 0-3 on our picks, because when we pick them to win, they lose, and I think we picked them to lose this weekend, all three of us, and look what they went down to Toledo and did. They got themselves a W.
Yeah, definitely. A really nice win. I think that's going to look pretty good, because I do think Toledo's a good team. Really funky game. To be really frank, is a really ugly football game, but that does not matter to CSU. They don't care how they're getting them, as long as they're getting them. And it was a nice win. The defense played great. Toledo clearly had a Notre Dame hangover, but again, that does not matter to Colorado State. They did what they had to do. So, a really nice result for the Rams.
So what is – okay, so, yeah, I mean, it felt like a strange game, and I'm certainly not trying to take anything away. I loved what that defense was doing, but, you know, CSU, for the most part, offensively couldn't get it going. The pass game, other than Trey McBride, couldn't get it going. So what does this tell us about this Colorado State team? Are they better than we thought, Kevin, or was this just a weird game on Saturday?
Yeah, I mean, I still don't think that there's anything that, you know, completely changed my mind and makes me think that, you know, it's a much better team than I thought. I still think it's a squad that's going to struggle through most of the season. But they were a little bit more what we thought they would look like. We thought they'd have a really good, strong front seven, and that would help lead the defense. We thought they'd be able to run the ball some, you know, maybe not super dominant, but enough to be effective. And then we thought the pass game would struggle, and all those things kind of happened. But they did enough to win because the defense was really, really good. The special teams were phenomenal. Well, they ended up phenomenal. They started a little rough with a couple punt issues, but that flipped around really quick. So yeah, I think it's one of those. Certainly a nice win, but I also, you know, I'm not booking tickets to the Mountain West title game either.
Hey, would you say the special teams in the second half was electric, as Coach Adonis told us?
They were in the second half. Again, you're kind of the end result papers over the fact that you had two fumbled punts in the first half, but they got the job done. I mean, 5 for 5 on field goals and punt return touchdown. It's hard to say no to that.
All right, Kevin, we're moving on. We're looking at Iowa, and okay. I think last week before the Toledo game, we thought, oh boy, that could get out of control very fast. How are you feeling now? Are you looking at it saying, who knows, maybe the Rams can stay in this thing for a little bit and at least make it interesting for a few quarters?
Not really. To be honest, I think it's still probably a lopsided game. It's one of those, probably a good thing is Iowa isn't, you know, a big high-flying, you know, big passing type of team, because that's where CSU would be vulnerable. A good thing for CSU is their front seven, as we've discussed, is pretty solid, and so that's what Iowa's going to really be testing. But I still think, I mean, it's a huge mountain to climb to hang in with Iowa. They'll have to play incredibly clean. You know, kind of like last week we said CSU would have to win the turnover battle to beat Toledo. That's even more true. You know, Iowa scored, I think, 3 defensive touchdowns this year already, so you better be clean with the ball. But it's a very tall task.
Now, Kevin, I've had some people ask, you know, well, does Iowa overlook CSU? And I don't think so, because Iowa is they want to be a playoff team. There's only 4 of those teams that can get in, and that means you can't have any blemishes. You can't have any let up. So if the powers that be look at this and go, well, yeah, but Iowa kind of let CSU in it for 3 quarters, and then they turned it on and ended up winning 28-10, but that's not going to be the look they want. They want to beat CSU, and they want to beat them badly.
Yeah, I don't expect, you know, a letdown type thing for a couple reasons. One, their coaches will show the tape, say, you know, hey, look, this Toledo team should have beat Notre Dame, and then Colorado State whipped them. So Colorado State is clearly has some talent. And then, you know, I don't want to say struggled, but they had some struggles in parts against Kent State last week. So I think they'll be very aware to the challenge. Like you say, they want to be in the playoff, and It doesn't matter who you're playing. If you're chasing a playoff berth, you have to be on your game.
Yeah, Kevin Lytle joining us from the Fort Collins, Colorado. And Kevin, again, this Iowa game, it's going to be interesting. What are we doing about the quarterback spot right now? How are we feeling about Toddy at this stage in the season, a couple of games in?
He ran more last week than he had earlier in the season, with design runs, that is, and was somewhat effective in bits, but that's worrisome, or just, it's a concern. You know, if you run a ton, your risk of injury, of course, goes up. You know, he's well built, but he's not the biggest guy you've ever seen in the world. And the passing is just too inconsistent. I know Dante Wright was out last week. He's almost certainly out again this week, so that does not help. But you can't complete just one pass to a receiver. He's okay passing in, you know, short yardages, but clearly his deep ball passing is not what it needs to be. It's too inconsistent for what the offense needs right now, to be frank. He does some things well, but needs to improve that deeper passing.
Now, this, and again, you just look at it and go, can this defense find ways to win games, you know, as we start to, once we get into conference play, and you wonder, okay, is Todd Senteo going to be that guy that can lead this team, or is he going to be asked more or less to just not turn it over, let Stonehouse do his thing, and then defensively you try to come up with something big, and you wonder, that just doesn't seem like it's something you can sustain all season long if that's what's asked of your offense.
Yeah, that's hard to do, but it does kind of look like the plan of do that, run it well, and win that way, which, again, if your defense is playing great, that's great. But, you know, a turnover or two can flip that really fast. It leaves a very small margin of error. That's how, I guess, is the best way to put it.
All right, so you mentioned it. Dante Wright almost. And, again, college football is so fun like that, or college sports, I should say. We never know who's going to play until we're kind of out there. But we're probably not expecting Dante Wright, which, again, just bodes so poor. It's going to be so poor of a situation for Toddy, but especially Trey McBride, who's going to continue to see double teams, maybe quadruple teams at some point.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, like I say, CSU completed one pass to a receiver last week, and that went for -3 yards. So clearly there's no trust, cohesion, anything between Senteo and the non-Dante Wright receivers. And Trey McBride, I mean, he's amazing. He can do basically everything. But, you know, Iowa's sitting there saying, well, if we even slow him down, we don't even need to stop him, but slow him down a bit, and we'll be in business. They're going to pack the box, I would imagine, Iowa, to basically just dare Senteo to throw over the top, because the tape has shown that he hasn't been able to do that successfully. So that's going to make it really hard to run. And, yeah, Trey McBride is going to get all sorts of attention.
Yeah, well, and, man, what can you say about Trey McBride? This is a cool test, I think, for Rams fans to kind of watch the game within the game, is to see what this tight end does. I mean, we're all saying it. He's the best tight end in the country. He could be a first-round pick. He continues to do it when everybody in the world knows he's going to get the ball. And so, the game aside, whatever you think is going to happen, the spread and all that, if you're just a fan of watching Trey McBride, this should be fun to see how he goes up against one of the nation's greatest.
Yeah, exactly. And he, you know, Iowa has produced some great tight ends. They're, you know, sort of a tight end U, them and probably Miami. You know, George Kittle, obviously Noah Fant down Denver. They've produced some really good ones. And Trey McBride's a guy that, you know, if he was wearing that black and yellow of Iowa, he would fit right in. You know, Kirk Ferentz, their longtime coach, who obviously has coached all these great tight ends, said, you know, basically that. He said, you know, he's probably the best tight end in the country. He's a blast to watch play. Toledo's coach was raving about him last week. And that's when, you know, when opponents are basically telling you that they're a fan of your play, that's how you know someone is that good.
And we talked to him yesterday, Kevin, and his answers, I mean, he's just a coach's dream too, isn't he? He's nasty on the field. He gets the job done. He's so athletic. He's so skilled. But then when you talk to him, he's like, yeah, you know, just where the coaches put me, and they put me in the right position all the time. I'm like, I mean, come on, dude. You could be in the worst position on the field and probably come away with, you know, 9 to 10 catches.
Yeah, he's a big deflector. It's very hard to get him to talk about his successes and anything like that. He's big on deflecting on the teammates or coaches or, you know, basically anyone else.
Which makes him, you know, which is another thing that just makes him even better, even more special, and such a unique player. Kevin, what are you working on in the Colorado that we can check out before game time?
Yeah, I wrote a piece on just what we were talking about of, you know, the admiration for Trey McBride from his peers and some other stuff about game day, and then big Ryan Stonehouse feature coming in the next couple days.
Dude, I could not read enough Ryan Stonehouse stuff, so sign me up. I'm going to be in for all of it. I read your stuff anyway, but, man, when you throw Stonehouse's name around, I mean, I'm in.
That's what moves the needle.
I love it, man. We'll see you in the studio in a few hours, man. Looking forward to our weekly show where we discuss all things Division I football out of Fort Collins.
Exactly. Looking forward to it.
All right, man. Talk to you soon. Kevin Lytle of the Fort Collins, Colorado. There's some stuff. There's some stuff that we'll talk about. We have a program that we air on Thursdays at 5 o'clock, and it was named after the football program in Fort Collins, and there's a long story to it. It's a positive story, but let's just say there are certain radio outlets that are territorial of their coverage. So because we're considered a competition, that name kind of is weird to some. So we're trying to get creative with it, as I'll say. But that program at 5 o'clock will be talking all things Colorado State Rams. I guess I can't technically give it that name. So we'll have fun with that show today. Cannot wait to hear what Kevin and Chris have to say, more in a kind of a full hour of all things Colorado State and what's expected of them through the rest of the season. I know this Iowa game is weird, but what's the rest of the season going to look like for them too? All right, we're going to wrap up on the other side. I got my Thursday night special. You do not want to miss it. We'll be right back.
Want sports from the coach? Tune in to Clark and the Coach, weekdays at 11 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.